Coffee Sketch Podcast is our take on the intersection of old tech and new tech, the space between the traditional practice of the hand-drawn sketch that has been performed by architects and designers for centuries, and the modern-day use of the hashtag as a representation of a sentiment or a movement. Each week, we plan to deliver a new pod about our ideas, sketches, and what's going on in our daily lives as we pursue our love of architecture, design, and sharing this knowledge with the next generation. I'm Kurt, and I'm in Flint.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm in Austin.
Hey, Jamie. How's it going?
Welcome to the show.
This is the show, yes. And
episode 137, I thought it was going to be 136 tonight, but I realized Kurt slipped in a special 136 episode, so everybody can go back in time and listen to a very creative green room outtake, which I think we might have also done again tonight. So there might be an extra 138 episode of some real classic.
I mean, it's not very long, though.
It's not very long.
It'll wind up being a little short.
It could be a shorty. Yeah.
Short shorts. Mm-hmm. Like YouTube shorts.
Okay.
Clips.
Yeah, I don't need to see you in short shorts. So. Short
shorts. Yeah, I don't need me either.
I love you, but that's not going to, no.
Yeah, it's too cold for that.
And it's cold. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah.
It's too cold. So as a short episode, then I guess we can briefly talk about coffee.
Yes.
And then briefly talk about this sketches. But so what do you got going in the Neil mug?
Well, I opened up another bag of the good stuff. I went back to the Coffee Sketch Podcast. I have another one going out in the mail.
Oh.
To someone in California. Not that she drinks coffee, but her husband does. So, yeah.
I got to write a note.
Yeah, note to self. That's getting checked off the to-do list. Yes.
And also, we'll leave it alone. Well, we won't name names, but
yeah.
While not a coffee drinker, a mug user. So a mug will be.
Mug user, yes, yes.
And you know, that's my job, the shipping of the merch.
Yeah, and I will also say quite the AIA president-elect.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not naming names,
though. Not naming names, no.
But, I mean, we're happy and excited for that.
Yes.
And the
so what do you have in your mug?
Well, you know, I think I had some before. So I finished the bag of coffee sketch coffee. I should put up the I swear I have a link for that.
You know, well, and you know, like Rootless was doing some deals for Cyber Monday and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, guess how many coffee pods can fit in this giant box, cardboard box. I don't know.
You do follow along. You do follow all their stuff. Okay.
I'm a lurker. I'm a social media lurker. Well, yep. You know, they're close to home. So I finished our a bag of that, and we order this food from Misfits Marketplace or Misfits whatever. I don't know what it's called. Misfits something, and it's. Well, it just Misfits Market, I guess. Anyway, so it's like the ugly fruits and veggies, but they also will deliver coffee, which I think they have a partnership with Intelligentsia out of Chicago. So I don't really know if it means that like the beans are ugly or if like it's just.
Or they got dropped on the floor or.
Mix match, you know, I don't know. It's pretty good. They're, you know, I forget the tasting notes. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
That's an excited, you know, my voice goes up an octave or two when I'm really, I like a good deal.
Yeah, no, why? I do know you like a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost free. But you know. So there's that. So I'm working through that.
Like bruised bananas. You know, beat up peaches, like miscolored apples,
cracked cucumber,
strange tasting notes for my coffee. Count me in.
It's a good one. It's a chocolatey medium roast of something. So,
no, that's good.
You know, I mean, Intelligentsia, you know, it's a pretty good.
No, I mean,
brand.
Yeah, you know, that is pretty good. Yeah, I agree.
So that's my story. And I have a few bags, you know, in the basement of Coffee Sketch Coffee. And every time I walk past, I start, you know, after going for bag number two, now I'm like looking for bag number three.
Right.
So.
Well, and personally, for those who are only listening to the podcast and not here with us live, I appreciate so much that Kurt is like, I'm like right there with you, because you're like, you're using your hands and your eyes and your head motion to describe like your own sense of space. You're like downstairs in the basement, and you're like you've got the whole motion to it that it's a lost art.
Well, you know, it does remind me, as I flip on these sketches, it reminds me of when we first started this podcast and did everything 100% audio with no video. And some might argue some of our best work.
It was pretty good.
How many episodes? Like 80 episodes we did, I think, without video. 60 or 80. So I can't remember now.
A lot. More than half.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we, but yeah, now we have visual cues that help. It's like a crutch. So, given that we just passed November 22nd, Jamie did something, you know, we kind of circle back to some just pretty regular, well, I guess almost on an annual basis, I suppose. Now, I'm trying to remember, on the left is The Memorial by Philip Johnson, right?
Correct.
And then the right is JFK himself. But I remember we did talk about the JFK Memorial before that Philip Johnson designed. Was that last year?
2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago already?
2 years already. I know.
Crazy. That we talked about that particular sketch?
Yeah, well, and that's the sketch from 2 years ago. What?
Oh, crazy. No, I thought there was a detail.
No.
Oh, we were looking at photos. Oh, man.
We were looking at photos because we were really kind of digging into like all the assembly and the potential assembly of this thing.
Right.
It really truly is an interesting piece by Johnson. And it's relatively close to Dealey Plaza, but it's not immediately at the site. They are, you know, they are separated by about 2.5-3 blocks. But it's, you know, and it's a pretty monumental piece, and really, you know, it's visible as you're seeing it here in the sketch from the street or the sidewalk. You know, this is sort of that vantage point. But then it occupies quite a lot of space on the city block as a cenotaph, as an empty tomb. And when you get inside it, there is sort of a plinth kind of in the center that is a different material and darker. And oftentimes when you go in there, you'll find roses laid or flowers laid on the surface of it, notes, you know, just, you know, kind of things that you would kind of associate with, you know, a memorial that you can kind of pass by on the street, kind of very impromptu. But when you get inside this sort of empty tomb, it doesn't have a roof on it. The city, the sound of the street really gets completely obscured. And so you really feel like as you go through this kind of slippage or the slipping space between these two kind of heavy forms, and you get inside, you know, it really, the sound, all your senses, everything really change, your vantage point changes, and really kind of you focus on where you are and that you're in this space. And so it was just, in, there's a stillness about the sketch, which I really like, and there's a stillness about the monument itself.
Well, you know, what I'm reminded of, well, A, you know, your description and the structure of this thing is sort of precast nature, this very, you know, concrete planks and things like that, and the care in the dimension of all the panels. But then I recently was describing explaining to my students a project, actually the Perot Museum. Mm-hmm. The Morphosis building, and
which is about a 10-minute walk from this site.
Yeah, and then I explained to the students, it's like, you know, there's actually quite a bit of great architecture in Dallas that, like, I haven't been to. I've only flown through the airport, so I haven't been to Dallas long enough to visit some of these things. And I said, you know, there's like a bucket list of good architecture all over Dallas within, you know, walking distance. OMA and Rex, whichever branch of the office you want to talk about. Norman Foster, right? this Johnson building, I mean, plenty. And then the Morphosis project.
Legareta has a museum, you know, in also within Allied Works, variety of different, you know, very, very notable firms, all kind of at the height of some of their really, really great work. And then you have, you know, multiple IMP buildings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you have the Nasher Sculpture Garden by Renzo Piano. DMA is the Dallas Museum of Art has a really great collection to begin with as a museum, you know, start there. The building was really starting to get tired and really needed a refresh and an expansion and sort of a reprogramming of it. So they just went through a very competitive international architecture search. And and I can't remember the name of the firm, but it was also a very public display. Dallas is sort of known for that in the last 20 years or so, at least with some of these works that we're talking about in architects, is that there's a real consciousness about the local architects and patrons of art and architecture to try and include the public in that process, or at least let them engage with, if multiple architects are vying for a particular commission, making sure that they all come and do a lecture, you know, come and do some interaction with the public. So the public really gets, you know, as much bang for their buck, so to speak, you know, with the particular project, even if that architect isn't necessarily selected. Some of the projects you just were naming, Jean Nouvel, like, was vying for one of those projects. Daniel Liebskin was vying for one of those projects. I mean, there's, you know, a variety of different other firms. I don't think Zaha, you know.
Well, and Michael Malt, the D, was it DMCA or the DMA, the Dallas Museum of Art, mm-hmm. right? I think that's the recent shortlist that included Michael Maltzen.
Yeah, and they didn't get it.
Did they select a winner?
Actually. Yeah, they did select a winner. It was a firm out of Spain that I'm not necessarily familiar with, but I really, really liked their presentation and very intriguing.
Are they online now, the presentations?
Yes. We can save that for a new episode. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that would actually, the shortlist would be fun to talk about. And isn't there Morphosis has more is the Crow Museum, is that also in Dallas, or am I thinking of another city? They're building something right now that I thought was in Dallas, but I could be wrong. I'll have to circle back on that. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of interesting, and I mean, yeah, it's like a greatest hits, almost like a downtown full of superstar architect projects.
Well, and
high profile cultural projects too.
Well, yeah. And what I've always liked about it is that, you know, even though amidst all these sort of high profile architecture firms, you know, kind of parking really good work in Dallas, it is really good work. Most of it is really, really remarkable good. You know, it's some of their good stuff in their portfolio. And I think that that part of that is the patronage, you know, for, you know, whatever that's worth. You know, Dallas, there is a lot of money. And so I think the patronage and not necessarily sophistication, but I think the attention to what Dallas needs in some of these kind of cultural icons is, I think there's a strong ethic to that. But at the same time, too, the city itself has some really, really interesting urban transformation strategies kind of going on. And I think some of that, you know, relates to this history we're seeing on the screen right here. Is November 22nd, 1963, Dallas, Texas is, you know, one of the, if not one of the biggest turning points in American history. You know, it's a, you know, for whatever your political persuasion, it is one of those turning points. And I think that for the city of Dallas, it was also incredibly shameful moment that I think really changed the public perception of itself as a city. And I think a lot of things sort of shifted, whether completely intentional or not, from that point. And you can start to see it in the architecture. You can see it in the urban planning. You know, I mean, there's a Frank Lloyd Wright's last buildings is in Dallas.
Really? What's it called?
It's the Kalita Humphreys Theater.
Oh, wow.
That Diller Scafidio was working on a master plan and a preservation rehabilitation strategy for. So, and is currently working on still. I mean, they're trying to fundraise and kind of get some of the funding for. And that building itself is tied to this urban strategy I'm talking about, where the parks in Dallas, the green space, and the relationship of the river to the city and how it divided communities initially geographically and also with some intentionality, of course. Mm-hmm. Is then seen in succeeding decades as an opportunity to start to stitch these things back together. Some more successfully than others, but in the last 10, 15 years, that level of consciousness to some of that has really, you know, started to play into how architects are selected, which projects are getting funded, which ones are moving forward. And so I think it's, you know, for a Texas city to be thinking that way about landmark buildings as well as sort of the urban fabric is really pretty unique.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, all you're doing right now is making me more jealous and want to visit Dallas sooner. Yeah, just the, you know, buildup of all that and in the cultural assets and things like that. So I'm sure someday soon there'll be a good excuse to go to Dallas. I mean, good enough excuse beyond this to tip me over to the big D, as they say, right?
But the second sketch to kind of come full circle to your original question, second sketch was done on the 22nd of this year. So one I've never done before. I don't do a whole lot of like famous people portraits. I mean, that's just not sort of my thing.
Yeah, that's true.
This particular presidential portrait, even when it was when Jackie O, kind of commissioned this work, even then it was controversial. And because it was so different than traditional presidential portraits, and you know, it was all, you know, kind of unveiled, you know, obviously after his death and whatnot, but there's a stoicism about it. There's a reflection. There's a, there's a heaviness to it, you know, both I think emotionally, but also just when you think about his, you know, very short presidency, as well as what that presidency was potentially leading us to in terms of kind of vision, you know, both, you know, as a country and sort of the struggles, but also sort of the aspirations. And so I always loved that portrait. And it's, if you go on a White House tour, it's so prominently displayed in the White House, even though some of the portraits do move around, but it's a beautiful painting. And so I was happy to try and do my best to sketch it in pencil.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I can see clearly. I mean, I recognize the positioning and the posture, the pose, and it's really nicely done. A lot of nice hatching technique and rendering. So, was this how long? I mean, we kind of talk about it from time to time, but how long did this one take?
25 minutes.
Oh, a little longer.
A little longer.
You think it's because you don't do portraits as much? Portraits
and pressure, yeah. Like, you know, a lot more pauses. Because, I mean, a lot of, for those who've seen me sketch, and you've seen me sketch when I do my fast stuff, that, you know, the pen or the pencil rarely comes off the page.
Right, yeah, you don't, and once you start, it's not really.
Yeah, it's.
Until you're done.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll talk when I'm drawing, but I don't pause. Don't think about it. This one I gave myself some moments of reflection.
Oh, it's really nice. Nicely done. It's fun to not skip over this for the memorial, I guess, you know, sort of the date, you know, since we just passed the date, you know, wrapped right around the holiday of Thanksgiving. So it's been kind of a quick week, I suppose, in the sense of holidays. But yeah, so yeah, even though you intended for us to talk about it briefly, but we couldn't, we had to do it enough justice to talk about both sketches and the idea of Dallas. So I think, yeah, thanks for pushing me to go in that direction. And, you know, we'll post that, and then I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and add it to your travel itinerary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To the list. Thank you for listening. We both hope that you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Sketch Podcast. Our theme music is provided by my brother, who goes by at Cold Fashioned on Instagram and Twitter. Our podcast is hosted at coffeesketch.buzzsprout.com. Find more show notes and information from this episode. And finally, if you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you.